Good morning,
Radio.
Good morning, evening, afternoon, night, wherever you are listening from. This is Lady Elizabeth, and it is September 7th on the East Coast. It's still September 6th if you're anywhere to the west of the East Coast of the United States. And we are coming to you live on Witch and Famous Radio, WAFR, with Sir Ed Carell. And we're coming to you on the third night of the Global Wicca Summit 2018. Hello, Ed. How are you doing today?
Okay. I'm running the marathon of this. It's been a fascinating marathon so far. I couldn't have hoped for it to have been better.
Wonderful. I'm so glad to hear that. I have been having a lot of fun myself, where I can. I've been working for most of this, but, you know, coming home and hopping on the radio for three nights? This is going to be the third night in a row now, and, yeah, it's awesome. Doing radio every night of the week so far. So we have quite the topic this evening. We're going to be talking about the commercialization of Wicca.
Right, and I think that one of the things people don't realize is that Wicca has always formed in a commercial system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one thing people need to realize right away. There's never been a moment where there has not been an argument of commercialism in Wicca.
Mm-hmm.
Simply put, Gerald Gardner's actions have made it so aware, where he's given credit for actually starting the religion, which isn't quite true, is because he was the first to commercialize it. He printed a book. He printed books, and he started selling them. And that's why we have Wicca today in a lot large degree, is because he broke the rules and he published material that was supposedly, allegedly before that.
Yeah, you know, I completely agree that, you know, the whole even book are still commercializing Wicca. And, you know, with big companies such as Llewellyn, for example, you know, I see them as the prime modern day example of the commercialization of Wicca. And you know, I think that the word commercialization in and of itself can be a really loaded word, which is okay, you know, and working kind of through that loadedness, I think might help a lot of people understand the need for us to be making money. Because, you know, let's face it, money is part and parcel of life in today's society. And perhaps this will help us going forward to kind of desensitize ourselves to this knee-jerk reaction that we sometimes can have. Okay, let me be honest, that we have a lot as a community when it comes to the topic of money and making money.
Well, so you're right. One of the things I think that is a problem is that the word commercialization is used to mean that we are bringing it to the market. But I said we're marketing Wicca, they'd be a little bit different. If I said we were making it available, we're making Wicca available to the marketplace of ideas to share with the public, people go, oh, that's a great idea. So really what it is, a lot of people are afraid. So I think one of the biggest things we're facing right now in our community is that we're afraid, simply afraid, of looking like everybody else. We're trying to be so unique and so different from everybody else that we're getting into these sort of arguments that are kind of silly to me. And that is that we want to not be, how would I phrase it? We don't want to be the bad guys. We don't want to be like everybody else. We don't want to type. We don't want to have big buildings. We don't want any of this because nature is our religion. And it's being used, and it's used as a way to say, we don't want to use our religion as a way to bring resources into our lives. And that's a big
right.
problem. But it's also a big thing. So what happens is that makes for a very aristocratic model.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, yes, it brings a very aristocratic model, which means I can't, you know, like that we don't need capitalism. We don't need business. We don't need it. Right? I saw it today. I saw somebody says, my finger is my athame, my hands are my chalice, my heart is my pentacle, my belly is my cauldron. Resist the idea you need to buy tools to be a witch. F that capitalist bullshit. Find tools all around you. Make tools out of the air. You're a witch and a poet. You're a medium and the art. The focus and the field within you and every tool of importance. And that was Mona Love. Let me give her credit. I believe Mona Love put that out. And to a large degree, I can believe that. You don't need these tools. You don't need these items. So, therefore, you don't need anything else.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And, you know, from the perspective of somebody who has been practicing my faith and my religion and my craft for 15 years, I can agree with her. I can agree with Mona Love that in the end, we are the catalyst ourselves for ourselves, for our rituals, for our magic. However, on the flip side of that, I would say, well, not everybody starts out with the ability to harness their magic at the drop of a hat without tools, which are acknowledgeably keys to aid in the learning of how to harness that magic. So, yes and no. We need tools to begin with. But as we progress, we can, if we choose, go without them.
So, sure. So that's in our practice of our magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our ideology. But it doesn't build us community. Now, recently, I think the big issue, and I think people are wanting to hear from me, people have been asking what I thought about it. But the idea of the witch boxes. Sephora Pinrose put out a witch box. I've done a lot of research now. The Starter Witch Kit. So let me back up. So everybody, at this point, a lot of our community know about it, but maybe you don't. You've not heard of it. I asked you to talk to somebody who didn't know about it. But Sephora, which is a makeup company, went to Pinrose, a 8-woman female-ran company. So it was a completely female-ran company with only 8 people in the shop. They got a deal with Sephora to make a fragrance-based beauty kit based on witchcraft. They went out and bought their tarot deck. They got sage from Native Americans. They were buying it from the Native Americans. So they tried to keep all of the rules in place. But they presented it poorly. Somebody made a mistake in how they presented it, and everybody went after them because it was a $42 kit that was going to go out. And today, they eventually, so the pagan community has a major shift today. It was able to drive a product out of the market. It's not the first time they've done it, but it's the first time they've done it to a major company.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were able to stop that because they felt that they were appropriating the witchcraft thing. So for me, that's it's a major shift in it because we're seeing that what we see in the main community that so many people complain about is that we don't want commercialization, that they then drove out commercialization. Now, mind you, they did this before to me. They did this before, but you have a different perspective of this than I do.
Yeah, and actually, I have, as we discussed earlier today, pre-show, I have written a letter to express my feelings because oftentimes, if I have a blank slate upon which to just write and pour my thoughts out, it's a lot easier than trying to talk off the top of my head. So let me find that. And this is, you know, a letter to the community regarding the witch kits from Pinrose and Sephora. And so let me begin here. I want to meet you with compassion where you are. So I will do my best to express my feelings from a place of love and understanding as well as honesty as I explain my perspective on this entire issue. I understand your disappointment. A lot of you feel the Pinrose Sephora perfume witch kits could have really helped our community. In the end, sure, it could have helped a few. It may have been that way had they rolled them out as they had planned. And could we have been accepting these young people who have purchased these kits 5, 6, or 10 years from now because of that one witch kit they had bought at Sephora around Halloween in 2018? Yes, we could have. One of the things I've done in creating my own witch boxes is to make sure the items that are included have a theme, are sourced from Wiccans, pagans, and witches, and that they are items that are authentic and used in the actual practice of witchcraft and Wicca. While it's possible someone might begin to study witchcraft and or Wicca even as a result of having purchased one of these kits from Pinrose and Sephora, we must ask ourselves, is the juice worth the squeeze of energy, that is, money, we're giving to this big box company that is Sephora, and as you said, Ed, the smaller woman-owned business of Pinrose, a perfume company? I think the outrage over these kits is, to a degree, similar to what other folks might feel if their way of life was presented in a similar fashion. And when I first heard of these kits a handful of days ago, I was one of those people who were pretty upset that these were coming out. I had little desire to see our way of life mass marketed by a company who, as far as I could tell, had not consulted any member of our community for advice on how best to go about putting together a kit such as the one we're discussing. I have no desire to be a gatekeeper, and I don't know if anyone else who has expressed their anger honestly had that desire either. However, I am a practicing witch of 15 years, and I am well-versed in my craft. I have also been putting up for the last 9 months in starting my own small business, which includes witch boxes that will give anyone who desires the chance to take their first steps on their craft journey. And that's all I had written, but I want to add that I, knowing what I know now, I wish I had known a bit more. I really wish that these had been presented differently. Because my first reaction was, this feels pretty much like a gimmick, you know? And it, I agree with you. It was poorly presented. So those are my very personal thoughts on this. And I do recognize that I have a stake in this because I am a small business owner, and I am a small business owner marketing to our community. And my aim is to keep as much of our money, our hard-earned money, which is energy in currency format, within our community.
There you go. And so, having said that, understand that I believe there is a deeper problem with it.
Okay.
So I think the community set a standard today that they're going to have to live with.
Okay.
I think they handed, well, they've not, this is not the first time they've done this.
Mm-hmm.
So we've attacked our own over these kits. We did this to Silver Ravenwolf when she brought out the Teen Witch kit, and they brought out the Magic Seal kits of Llewellyn. Right? And so they basically brought it out, and she was attacked over it, saying it was crappy, it was bad, it was marketing teens, it was, you know, what is things. Every argument they used against her was, again, used against this, except it came from our own community. So we are now, as a community member, now thinking about how we're going to control the market. We've now done it again. So we have now made it, we're now questioning the right of anyone to put out kits, period. There is no, I'm seeing now from a lot of the commentary, there is no acceptable kit. And that's going to be the thing, that we are going to try to make arguments over who has the right to market to that, to the word witchcraft. And we've said this again and again. We've done this. So that makes it, you know, happen over and over again. We're getting to the point now that we actually have it. So on the show we did at the Great Global Wicca Summit, which this is a part of, and I want to thank everybody part of it, when we did our interview with Phyllis Crotch, she believes from her statistics and her data that there's a million Wiccans, active Wiccans, not pagans, Wiccans. And so that represents a tremendous amount. That represents a market space of between $500 million and $1 billion being spent on kits every year. No one thinks about that. Because if each person is spending $500 to $1,000 a year on their religion, that's between half a billion and $1 billion, if the number holds true. And Archpriestess Karat actually knows what she does, because she is the member of vice chairman of the parliament, and that she is working with a major company. And in fact, her first book is going to be a book that she's going to get crap for. I suspect, and I'm going to make this thing, that Phyllis Karat will be attacked over her next book, which is Wicca Made Easier, Accessing the Divine Within. Because it's going to be, it's a very focused, straight across to the public, to the mainstream book. And she should be doing better than that. I'm going to tell you, people are going to say, oh, she should be doing better than that. Instead of doing something really fancy, right, like, oh, my life as a woman or as a leader, her books have been memoirs. This is a real workbook for people who don't know Wicca. And I suspect she's going to get crap over it. She will be attacked over this. So I feel like that a lot. I feel that that's my feeling. I understand a lot of other people feeling. But remember, I've been a commercial witch in that aspect since I started. I remember witch school was the devil. of Community, but I said I worked my way through it.
Right.
So anything that promotes our community gets attacked.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's three things. Okay? And I think you cut into one of them right away, and that is a sense of sacredness, the sense of specialness, the specialness or the idea that something about what we do is more important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
So I think that we see it as more important. Remember, magic doesn't exist legally. Okay? You cannot sue somebody over casting a spell on you. You can't
mm-hmm.
prove anyone's harmed you with a spell. You can't prove that you've casted a spell. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's no proof in the world, and legally it doesn't exist. I can't... If I do a spell for you and you pay me, you might be able to get me away with fraud, but you're not going to be able to get the government to give me back your money because your spell didn't work. There is no guarantees
right.
and warranties on magic. Unlike a car. Like if you drive a car,
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Because if you get buy a brand new car, you expect a certain amount of warranties. If you buy a service, even like medical service, if somebody screws it up, you can go out and get malpractice for it.
Right, right.
But if a Reiki master comes in and tries to heal you and it doesn't work, you have no recourse. Right? So literally, magic in a commercial sense doesn't exist. It's all considered a fraud or it's considered a novelty. And so people
right.
are trying really hard to do it. Like you said, it's a gimmick. You felt like the kit was a gimmick. And so
yeah.
everything in magic, every item that is sold is a gimmick, according to the law. None of it's real, according to the law. So it's solely an act of faith. And I believe that act of faith is what people try to keep it from being commercialized. They don't want to be in trouble.
Right. It makes sense.
So that's the first reason. The second reason is that almost all Wicca is global, is local and linear. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's local and linear, which means I need to be the special person. I control my Wicca, my witchcraft. And I've seen this now all over the world. People, national leaders who think their Wicca should be the number one leader, Wicca in their area, if in there. If you bring into this Wicca, so you don't want to compete with other people, and a global and exponential world is which I work at, which the marketplace represents, really contaminates the local and linear aspects of it.
Right.
So you don't want to be that. And I think the third reason is a very important one. There is that we come from a lot of dysfunction. Most Wiccans are converts, and they bring all that baggage, the Christian church, and they attack the Joel Osteen. Olsteins, and they track all the Pat Robertsons, and they pack all the money grubbing religion. So they want a faith that doesn't have any money to it. They don't want to make that financial or personal or economic commitment to it. And when they
right.
come to Wicca, they think that you do not have, there's no commitment. Wicca doesn't have a commitment. There is no commitment to Wicca in a financial or personal way of dealing with resources. Period. So the lack of demand of resources, in fact, a opposition to using resources by force, this idea of being special and that you don't want to, plus the idea that, on the other hand, you've got all of this fraud where eBay, Etsy, all these guys are killing all these sort of pagan businesses right, really dealt with it. I just feel like that's a big part of it. And so these are all combined to make it very difficult. At the same time, every festival has merchants. Every pagan pride has merchants. So what
Absolutely.
We're really trapped into, so what all we've agreed is that we are willing to accept barter and trade. We're willing to accept a 1930s economy. We're willing to accept a 1940s economy of local and linear, but we're not willing to accept a internationalized, large-scale market that fits the world. And Sephora just proved us that we are not prepared to deal with, is not willing to deal with in any way the idea of a global pagan market. We would rather have people lose their shirts, spend themselves into poverty, spend millions of dollars every year across the board for failed shops, failed businesses, failed everything, than accept the fact that we need, that they cannot go out and compete in the mainstream market. Because the minute they go to the mainstream market, they get attacked. I really feel that way. I see it over and over again. I even had a product. Now, we fell not because, of the Wiccan community for it, but because the price of oil went up and raised the price of candles. But I was selling Harry Potter $1 witch spells. And then we got a lot of hell over that.
Yeah, and you know, I actually really enjoyed the mini spells. Because I remember they came out actually when I was like 16, and I got to help, and you know, it was a, for those of you who don't know what a mini spell is, it is a candle of one of many colors, any number of colors, depending on what the spell is, okay? And this candle was literally, these candles were literally blessed by hand with consecrated oil before they were wrapped with a piece of parchment upon which the spell was written. And it was tied off with a bit of, what do they call that? It's not twine, but it was similar to twine. And then put inside of a little plastic sleeve, and the label was, you know, stapled on top to close the plastic, and that was it. You read the candle, you light the spell. You read the spell and light the candle, excuse me. And then your will is worked. And I've used a couple of those, actually, and I really wish that they were still around. I think we ought to try to bring them back, actually. And I've thought about that a few times. But I think I think that there's a difference between the two things, between that and this kit by Pinrose. And you know, There's just so many mixed feelings that I have, because, you know, I don't know that anyone honestly was like, no, we don't want these people at Pinrose to succeed, or at Sephora to succeed.
That's exactly what we said. That's exactly what the community just said. That's exactly what the community just said. And they led them and they social media them into failure. That's exactly what the community said. We don't want you to be in business. We don't think you have the right to do this. And we're going to make your life hell. We're going to make noise and just put an end of it until it happens. So they just did. It's what we literally just did. We did something that the Christians have done over and over again. We literally drove a company possibly out of business. Penrose might fail over this. So, yes, we made that decision as a community. We have made that decision as a community to say, we think it is so bad as a community, not everybody, but enough of them, to say that company doesn't deserve to be in business. That's what we said. And that's okay. We're allowed to do that. That's our right to do so. And if we have authority to do that, i.e. we have the power to do that, then that's okay. We can do that. That's capitalism. That's the marketplace. It has nothing to do with religion. That has everything to do with cultural and corporate power. And we protected our community. Those people thought they were protecting the community. And today there's a vast majority of people who are Wiccans who are saying, yay, we did that to them. So, yeah, that's exactly what we said. That they did not deserve to have a right to be in business. Not with this product. And that's how, you know, and having been at the other end of that, we did the Silver Raven Wolf. We drove her kits out of her. We drove her kits out of the marketplace. We've done this before. With the Magical Sigils kit. We've done this over and over again with kits. And, yeah, I remember at one time Llewellyn, actually there's, Llewellyn pagans are actually was an insult to the Wog at the time. And people were mad at Llewellyn. Now, what's changed? Llewellyn now is seen as, if you're not a Llewellyn author, you're not really a leader, right? But at one time, Llewellyn was considered the worst, and you had to go through Wiser or Red Wheel or some of the other companies.
Mm-hmm.
If you went through Llewellyn, you were just a cheap, you know, you're a cheap author.
Right. I am not. I do not share the opinion that you have to be published by Llewellyn to be a leader or a good leader. You know, I think the achievement of publishing a book, full stop, is quite a feather, quote unquote, feather in one's cap, as it were. It takes a lot to write a book. You know, even if it's, you know, not the best book in the world. And I think that people who keep blogs every day are similarly achieved, because it takes time and dedication and commitment to sit down and write every single day. And that is to be commended.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, there's going to be people who complain that there's too many witch books on the market and that we shouldn't have as many books. I mean, but so let's deal with something more important. So let's talk about the fact is what we need to do. Because I've told
okay.
you what I think the community is negatively.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the side of it. At the same time, this is a community that wants clergy. They want space to carry out rituals.
Mm-hmm.
They want space for a bunch of reasons. Space costs money. As a commercialized witch, in other words, building a witch school, I learned how to use micropayments, actually small amounts of money, and do them really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we do really well at taking a penny and make it work like a dollar.
Right.
We've had to. We put this Global Wicked Summit on. We made pennies look like dollars. We did
right,
podcasts.
Absolutely.
So we've always had to work with pennies and make them work like dollars.
And over the years, as you said on the first night here on WAFR, over the years it's become far more affordable to do so. You had said that, you know, 25, 30 years ago, this would have taken millions of dollars to do. So as time goes on and as technology advances and increases and becomes more widespread, it's becoming more affordable, and we can do for pennies on the dollar these sorts of things, which is fascinating. So what is it then that we do?
What do you mean?
What is it that we need to shift as a culture, as a community, in order to get out of this? We want this, but wait a minute, we're not comfortable with this thing over here when these people try to do this.
Well, first of all, we have to accept that we can't live in a free world. Right now, almost the entirety of the pagan, what I would call the pagan market, is a parasitic market. It parasites on the larger Christian-based culture.
Okay.
The American-based culture.
Mm-hmm.
I.e., we work jobs that are paid by, you know, fit into the world. Some people say, oh, they're just secular, but we have to live in the sort of whatever model that our bosses create. We can't,
right.
We don't have our own resources. We can't back up. We have to learn with live with Etsy. When Etsy says, oh, yeah, Etsy says, you know, no more spells, or eBay says no more spells, and they cut us out of the marketplace. Or when PayPal says we're not going to allow you to do readings and pay through PayPal through readings.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, because Christians don't like us, we have to live in a marketplace that says, oh, all our readings are for entertainment purposes only.
Right.
We're not, and the problem is, this is backed up by our own saying, well, that's just okay because we shouldn't be doing it in the first place. So by having a denial of it, we don't know what we want. We're all claiming that we want a better life, that we want medicine for our people. We want better libraries for our people. But even books. You know who makes the majority of money on books from the Wiccan community? It's not Llewellyn. Right? It's Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a small independent bookseller. It's Barnes & Noble. They take the lion's share of the profits from the marketplace. And we don't do direct marketing. We don't do, so we leave it there. We don't buy our incense from Wiccans and pagans on a national basis. Very few of us actually buy it from there. No, we buy it from big national companies. Even if they start out small companies, they become bigger companies. We don't buy our candle holders from somebody who makes them by hand. Not as a rule. They're too expensive. We go out to the dollar store and buy Chinese glass. We just do. So we're more than willing to let outside paganism, right? We allow outside groups, such as the forest thought they had the right to make our products because of the general. But when we try to bring it inside, we don't want to necessarily have our own groups do it. Llewellyn probably is worth probably about $60 to $80 million, maybe $100 million. It should be a $1 billion company, but it can't market because it gets chased out of the market all the time. It's not allowed to do really good books, and they're not allowed to do really good kits. They're not allowed to do any of that because they get chased out of the market. They're only allowed to do what they're supposed to do. Right, they're only allowed to do their thing. So we only allow a certain amount of capital. We actually set up our businesses to fail. So what we have to make a decision for, right? So what we have to really decide, do we want to have a functional marketplace? Every pagan pride is paid for. It's a free event. Paid for by merchants. And I'm going to be Saturday. I will be talking about Healing Gaia, Making It Matter at Chicago Pagan Pride. And yet, those Pride and Pride events have to hire people like Selena. You know, Selena doesn't go anywhere for free. She gets paid. She's a paid speaker. Phyllis Carratt doesn't go anywhere for free. She's a paid speaker. Christopher Penzack doesn't go anywhere for free. He's a paid speaker. I'm one of the very few people who will go out being a free speaker out in the world because I don't make my money from speaking. You know, let's be honest with it, right? We may love Selena Fox, but she's a paid speaker. And so the merchants who tend to lose their shirts at these events and don't do as well as they'd like to pay for the right to bring in Selena Fox, who will be paid to go to Pagan Pride on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And she should be. And that's rightful, right? I think that's good.
Absolutely.
But some people are like, I didn't know she was being paid. I thought she did out of the goodness of your heart. No, she would be bankrupt. She couldn't do it. Huh?
Right. Exactly.
Right. But we do that all the time. But yet, she's going to be seen at a free event created by Twyla York or any number of other people who do other things.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then where they think they should get everything for free. This is the element. What is it that we want as a culture? It's really the question. It's not a question, should Wicca be commercialized? It should be a question about how do we create a funnel to bring resources into our community that deals with over 1 million people in the marketplace and several more million people who just love the culture enough that they want components of it.
Right.
That's it. And your boxes are trying to answer that because you're not just a box, you're an incubator. I mean, I think that's one thing that's not really spoke to.
I am with Witch and Famous Agency. I am bringing together people who have some really brilliant ideas and ways with which we feel collectively we can help change some of this thinking and some of this need to say, oh, okay, Etsy, you can restrict what we can buy on your from your website. You can restrict what we can sell on your website. We can, I hope within the coming months that, you know, we won't have to rely on, for another example, Google Drive or YouTube or Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
That we can really move into our own community-run, community-serving space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is not to be, quote-unquote, gatekeepers. It is to build and incubate our own, because
mm-hmm.
we really need to do that, and we really need to realize that, you know, as much as we might hate money, it is a reality, and, you know, nobody gets anything for free except air, and you have made the point before that in the future, with air quality going down, might even change there. You know, it sure has with water in some places, so air just might be next.
Sure.
That's a frightening prospect, to be completely frank.
Sure.
You know, but I think that if we can change people's perspective about the way money works and show them that money is simply the currency of our time and energy, And if we if we tell it to people often enough, if we show them often enough, if we keep reinforcing the positivity of having money within our community, keeping money and bringing money into our community, showing them what this energetic currency can do for all of us as a collective, then we can start to turn this into something better and greater for ourselves.
Right.
So that's you know, I am one voice, but I am a really loud voice when I have to be, but I'm also a very gentle voice when I need to be too. You know, and it's learning balance between the two, and it's learning how to put on the different hats and speak from different hats, and remain conscious of these buttons, these hot buttons,
right?
And learn how to, like I was saying in my letter earlier, approach people from where they are, and come to them instead of saying, you know, no, I'm gonna stick my stake upon this hill and stick my flag upon this stake upon this hill, and I'm not moving for anything. I mean, I could, but what would I get?
So, the number one problem that you're going to see is that, so Witch School did something very unique, and this Global Wicked Summit has shown us the power that we created. We created infrastructure out of the internet that allows this community to make cake globally and allows us to create trans traditionally. We have had the Minoan tradition here, Wiccan tradition. We've had the Georgian traditionalists. We've had Dianic traditionalists. We've had, you know, the heads of the ATC and so many other groups involved with us at no cost to the public and at a cost to this witch school, because we get a small number of people, less about approximately 5%, who buy a membership from across the world. And we managed to turn that pennies into absolute dollars worth of things, like what it costs a lot of money. So we very much well exploited the nature of the internet. We're still in the middle. We've only raised $3,000 of $20,000 that we need to save witch school for the next century. We've only raised $3,000. And it's been tough as nails to do so. But the reason why people didn't support, and if you ever look for the enemy of witch school things, and there are there, well, we were able to do this, and we've done Pagan Tonight Radio, said Magic TV, we're going to the Parliament, we've done, you know, blogs, we've done books, we've done giveaways, we've done all sorts of things. We give away content because everybody in the community thinks it should be given away for free. They, you know, talk to authors who talk about their books, and they, you know, the books are cheap. And no author, there's not a single author who makes a sufficient amount of money from their books to be independent simply on their books. They're forced into the system of slave, almost slave-like labor to go to festivals to make their money. They have to go out and do speaking engagements to make their money. They have to go out and sell products to get their products going. And occasionally they can even sell a class. Okay? That's just the way of life is. There is no group out there right now that has a professional clergy that I know of. Now, certain groups pay for some of their clergy expenses, and very few of them. And this is all the idea that if we allow anyone to get commercial success, i.e. enter into the mainstream, they're going to be the ones, and witch schools make use of this, and we've done a really good job. We have a lot. We've gone from 25 years in 1993, literally 25 years ago, from being like nothing religion, right? Right, to walking the parliament itself, to being recognized by the parliament as a global faith. All of that is through the fact that we've done that solely through the idea of creating communication, charging small amounts of money, and making data available, and making almost all of our data available free of charge. Period. And it wouldn't work, and so we've been able to do that. But now people are afraid, oh, now does that mean we control the community? No, we just have our community. Do we have a right to set the standard for everybody else? No, we only have the right to set a standard for ourselves. And that's why this is a global Wicca summit, because we could not speak to the larger pagan community because we haven't even talked about our own community. And
right.
I asked the question, does it say Wicca even have to be a part of paganism anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And that's our Monday town hall question, is that does Wicca need to even be part of paganism anymore? And a lot of people know my answer is that no, we don't. But because we are afraid of the mainstream, so what Sephora and the Penrose product represented, right, was a direct acceleration of Wicca into the mainstream, and somebody was going to make a profit on it. And therefore, they were going to shift the power in the community by giving somebody resources. So anytime anyone starts to succeed, we tend to attack them. We did a little well, and nobody really knows who Azure Green is. You know who Azure Green is?
Yes.
Azure, very few people do. They're one of the biggest suppliers of the Metaphysical Store. Llewellyn actually made a deal with Amazon that ended up putting small book dealers out of business. Okay? So people are afraid of these concentrations of wealth because they think that's the right set of authority. If you gather attention, which is what you have to do in business, then you're going to have the right to that authority. And I think that the gatekeepers, and I say this is all over the place, don't want anyone to succeed before they do. And it's easier to tear down everybody else's building and not make your building the tallest in the world. It's easier to make your building short and tear everybody else's than to build a really tall building and don't care what everybody else's buildings look like. So what we have to do is we have to get past that. How are we going to do consolidation? How are we going to do growth in our community? How are we going to build these bigger events? Right now, we've been using a lot of incrementalism, an aristocratic method of doing so, and we're trapped in the 1930s and the 1940s. We venerate the past so much that we do not see that we can't exist in a future world. We would rather be in the grave. Every pagan and Wiccan leader, almost to a T, has practiced this situation. They'll rather put this into the grave, leave no legacy, than to risk leaving a legacy that looks like a mainstream religion, to look like Christianity, to look like Islam, to look like Buddhism, to look like any of these things, which is meaning taking resources and taking money from our people and building things, that we are willing to rather be put into a grave and buried like than it is to succeed. Because that fear of gatekeeping, that fear of not being authentic, that fear of not treating it right, is going to be the biggest problem. And that's what we have to get past.
Just so how do you feel we get past that? How do you see us getting past that? What are the steps that you've been thinking about this a long time, like well before this all happened.
Okay. So, thank you for asking me that question. So, the first thing I had to do is before Pagan Pride, so people don't realize before Pagan Pride happened, right? Did
mm-hmm.
you know? Most people don't know it. I used to host a series of events called Pagan Expos.
Mm-hmm.
People forget it. The predecessor to Pagan Pride, which came out of Indiana, was Pagan Expo. And I believe that we should have merchants. So first thing I did is I started to put pagan on the things and started selling directly as a pagan.
Mm-hmm.
Then I decided nobody was going to buy my advertising, so I started a media company and started doing radio and doing magazines
mm-hmm.
and selling readings. And I put money in people's pockets. I put over, I think I put $2 million in the pagan's pockets since I've started my project.
Wow. And how many years ago was that?
Well, 30 years ago.
Wow.
By the parliament, I was, you know, pretty well, that sort of thing. So then I hosted Pagan Leadership Conference, and I hosted Pagan Expo. So I believed getting exposure was important. Then if you can't get media attention, everybody was trying to get the mainstream media. This was a frenzy. Oh, yeah, we need to get newspaper articles and everything else. So, well, we can't get them, or they're tough. Remember, I've gotten more articles than almost everybody. There's very few people who have gotten as many Pagan articles as I did. So I studied the media, and I started doing our own media. Then I decided we needed a school because we needed to teach people because we couldn't teach people fast enough. I was too elitist,
right.
So I started a school for a small amount of money. I started the, you know, then I started the Magic TV videos. And we sold videos, and we started a witch store that eventually got would be buried because I tell you the truth, witch schoolers, the people who worked for the witch school in 2007, 2008, didn't like merchandising. They thought it was a stain, and they thought, well, should we just make it on memberships? And that they basically sabotaged it and killed it. Period. Yes. Even the witch school store was sabotaged from within, in my opinion, and killed. Because it was just too much of an imposition. It was just too commercial. It was just too difficult. So you have to capture markets. So what am I doing today? So today I coach people. Today, a box can save everything. For me, a box represents the greatest thing. Because what we put into that box isn't just products. We're putting community in that box. We're able to say, we will get the projects distributed to a larger number of people so that we can make sizable orders and make sizable differences to businesses. Stop making orders of 30 and make an order of 3,000. Instead of trying to sell, you know, a bar of soap or 100 bars of soap at a festival, which costs you $100 to get in or $200 to get in, it costs you a week's worth of time, it costs you the cost of merchandising, it costs you tents, it costs you all of that. Then you take a risk of having it washed out, right? To sell
a big
what?
Risk.
200. To sell what? 200 bars of soap to a community that isn't going to rebuy them? That's insanity. But it costs us back into the crafters market. So we have to be willing to accept it. So in sense, by creating millennials and creating subscriptions such as for Imperfect Fruit, or there's all sorts of these ugly fruit French CSAs, because they found a way to monetize it by doing subscription boxes. So by doing a subscription box, you're getting a certain amount of capital into your community, and if you're selling it, then you can go back to your community and buy from your community, and it adds more money to your community. So, such as the Elizabeth Witch Boxes, you're going back, you're going to buy incense, you're going to buy herbs, you're going to buy candles from as many people as possible to do so. The second thing you're going to do is it allows you for influencers. You need to start influencing people. We need the influencers to sell our product. So, Wiccans and Pagans who are putting out content are doing it for free. But if we were selling in a substantial amount of boxes, i.e. incubation, we would be able to pay them to do commercials for us. Oh, wow.
Right.
Commercials for witch boxes? That's terrible. That's just selling witchcraft against our wishes. Well, you're going to have to learn to ignore that. But it's exactly what's going to happen. And then we put out a real commercial on a pre-roll on, say, all the YouTube Pagans, which is super, super cheap. Never before has advertising and business been so cheap to get into as it is today. We are squandering our opportunity to build a civilization. So just working together, learning to advertise and selling product that you want to a large number of people, and to realize that there's probably a million witches out there, there's probably 500,000 pagans, and there's probably 30 million people who would buy Wiccan or Pagan products as part of their practices.
Right.
And that market exists, and it's being filled, but it's being filled by all sorts of other companies, which then we buy off the shelf because we can't bring ourselves to buy from our own. So what they're calling for, what the gatekeepers are calling for, is the same thing that Jewish people do. It's called a kosher label. Or for meat is a not kosher.
Halal.
So are we going to have to go out and create an organization, and who would be a part of it to create a halal symbol, a kosher symbol, a Christian marking that says this is a approved by the great temple guards to accept it? It appears so. After all, we may have just put a company out of business over this. We drove a woman out of the marketplace, so she stopped producing a lot of books over this. We destroyed one of our best leaders over this, in my opinion. We destroyed silver over this. So this is the inside thing. So the way we have to get past it is we just simply have to accept that we're going to have, that we have a right to do this, and we need to do this, and we need to address our own market. And that won't change. And that won't change until we recognize that Wicca is not local and linear, but global and exponential as well. Period. And if we can work together and create a competitive network, we can survive, and then we can buy campgrounds, we can buy houses, we can buy churches, we can buy hospitals, we can hire doctors, we can bring our medicine into place. We can give ourselves all the things to live a style of lifestyle. But what the real problem is, no one believes that if we spent the time and energy to build a lifestyle, that the life we would build is better than the one we have. We are addicted and trapped into the marketplace and the capitalistic mindset, and the ownership of words is far more important. It's far more important to us, which is capitalistic. Remember, we didn't own our words before, but capitalism says we trademark our words. We own our words, right? Somebody can tell us we can't use that word. I can't go out and make a product for Mickey Mouse. Somebody owns Mickey Mouse, right? No one can go out and use Nature Little Recycler samples because I own that trademark, right?
Right.
So,
but those are certain words. Those are not all words. They're just
Right. And as long as, so sure, but there are owned words, and we believe people have a right to own words. As long as we believe that's true, and no one's willing to develop products around those words, they're not willing to develop a lifestyle, then we would rather be trapped into our capitalistic, poverty-creating system for our religion than to believe that we could create a better life. The reason why witches hate commercialization is they don't believe it's going to lead to a better life. And they'd rather keep the life that they're in, no matter how miserable or how ugly it is, than take a risk of making a better life.
That's downright depressing.
That's what I believe. That's why we put Sephora out of business. Penrose is going out of business. I think Penrose is going to go out of business over this. I do. I think they're going to go out of business. I don't think they could take the hit. This is a pretty big deal for them. They might survive, but they're going to take a huge hit. But then again, this comes down to something else. I did this before. I've actually damaged the Wiccan pagan community years ago. So I was working for a company that were looking for me, president of a company called Oculus. Not the screens, but there's the idea of a TV studio in the box. And in it, I met officials from the Ogilvy News Agency, and they saw how big my community was on Ningsite, the witch school community. They go, oh, you should be making a lot more money. I said, no, you can't. Oh, you should be selling advertising. Won't sell. We spent 2 weeks doing research on it and found out that Wiccans are 800 times less likely to buy from advertising than the average individual.
Wow.
That means, 1,600 times less likely to actually make a purchase. So it means our content is worth nothing to advertisers. And they redlined us for that. They were never going to advertise with us because you have to spend 8 times as much to reach us and 16 times as much than the average person to reach us and to get us to buy a product because we hate advertising so much. And therefore, none of our content is worth anything because it's not worth advertising on it and nobody will pay for it. This is a truth of our community. So our blog writers, we don't have $1 million blog writers. If you go to any of our blog writers, none of them are making a living from it. But if you go into other communities, they are making livings. And there, I know people who are making millions of dollars from blogs through advertising. But we can't because we hate advertising so much. So witches don't know how they want to deal with the marketplace. Let's make it clear. They don't know how they want to deal with the marketplace. They don't know what a witch market looks like. Instead, we go to pagan pride events and sit around, walking around, seeing the same product over and over again. And half those merchants aren't going to be back in the next year because they're going to lose their shirts. We burn money every day because we don't have a sensibility of what we want in our marketplace. We don't know what we want from our merchants, but we depend on them for at every festival to pay the cost. So we hate our merchants for being merchants, for carrying products, for being commercial, but we make them pay for our events so that we don't have to. That's the truth of pagan pride. We dislike our merchants so much that they're going to lose their shirt. We expect them to pay for a free event that brings in speakers that they have to pay for. That's the truth. That's the dirty, ugly truth of pagan pride. That's the problem with the anti-commercialization of Wicca. Isn't that amazing? But it's true.
That is quite amazing when you sit back and think about it. But I understand the problem, and you've outlined that very well. I want to explore solutions to this problem and how we go about finding, if we don't have one right now, finding it. Like, how would we discover how the quote-unquote average Wiccan sees a market for themselves, or the average witch sees the market for herself or himself, or the average pagan even sees the market for themselves. How do we
do
that?
I really wish I knew more than I did. Okay? I really wish I knew more than I did. So all I can do is start to work with people and to get them to build better business. I eventually left the business of trying being a Wiccan merchant to go into a new business, and I'm now working with other people who are trying. So I can tell you the problems. I can even tell you how to start building them. Right? And incubating Witch and Famous is an incubator project, which I'm hoping to do. Great. Okay. I think we need to keep trying, but I really don't know. A direct answer to it. I can tell you what I'm doing and how I've done things, but I can't tell you I have an answer because I don't know how to talk to everybody to get them to understand that they need to build a marketplace. I don't know. That part I don't know.
Well, I have a couple of ideas about that. And I think that if we start small, talking to individuals and small groups, for the Corellians among us, that would be, you know, shrines and temples and individuals and whatnot, and spread the word out from there and really drive home why it is important, eventually it might catch on. Because that's kind of the model of how things have worked before. for our community, is it not?
Kind of. Yeah, and that's how some people have gotten bigger. I mean, Azure Green has gotten bigger to be about an $8 million a year company in revenues, which is not very much. But even you faced it. So let's talk about even when you try to do merchants, when you try to do your own community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And you wanted
right.
to do a T-shirts.
Yes. So, I have done, and I am still doing, you referenced the rebuild for the witchtools.com website, because the issue with that is that the infrastructure of the website is getting old, it's getting outdated, so we need a new one. So with these t-shirts, I was looking to use, and I am using a business run by pagans, a t-shirt company run by pagans, to print these t-shirts. High quality prints, lovely work. I saw them in person at Heartland Pagan Festival, and I got to see these t-shirts for myself. So, seeing as a large swath of witch school students, current witch school students, are Corellian, I decided to use the Corellium, which is the symbol of the Corellian tradition, as the logo for the first run of shirts. And so I brought this to the attention of several of my friends and fellow temple heads, and a lot of them liked the idea, but they thought that it was premature. And I even had one person remark to me that it seemed a little costly at, you know, $7.25 a shirt. For, like, that would be, you know, what I would eventually pay the printing company.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked, you know, have you looked elsewhere for something cheaper? And I said, absolutely not. Why, and my position, I still hold this position very firmly, why would I look outside of my community, which would probably be the only darn place that I could find anything cheaper? Why would I look outside my community when the whole point of me being in business is to keep money inside of my community? And so I decided to do it anyway. I went ahead and did it, and we have 30 pre-orders, and the down payment was made about 10, 15 days ago, give or take. I think it was like 12 days ago by now. And it's going forward. Because I believe firmly enough and wholeheartedly enough that leading by example and showing people, look, I know you're wrong about this, but instead of argue with you over this, I will shift my perspective a bit, and I'm just going to show you, like you did, Ed. It's actually very much like you did with witch school. People shouted down at you about witch school, but you showed
them, sure.
And you went forward with it, and it worked. And now there are several schools of magic online.
Sure.
So, you know, that was my story. And, you know, I understand that the people who thought that it was a bit premature were coming from a place of compassion and love, and I really appreciate that. Like, they didn't, like, shout me down or anything, like these people going about attacking Pinrose and Sephora. But it still kind of stung a little bit. And so that was kind of sort of a wake up call a little bit. You know, I was like, wow, this is gonna be a lot harder than I even realized. I knew it was gonna be hard, but I didn't know it was gonna be this hard. I guess it's kind of like, you know, I saw a question that was posed, you know, do we need secrecy? Do we need the mysteries? And, you know, I guess learning how hard being in business actually is like one of those mysteries that you can only really experience, and it really can't be explained to you to the degree which experiencing it would give. So, there we have it. But I'm not giving up, and I'm really proud, and I'm really grateful to each and every person who has pre-ordered a shirt. And, of course, I will be letting people know when they arrive. Big, gigantic unboxing and all kinds of new fun stuff gonna come after that. You know, I just, being able to do this, let me just give people a moment to kind of understand where I'm coming from as a person with a lot of crazy creative ideas. This allows me, owning my own small business, having my own small business, working with a bunch of brilliant people, coming all together and incubating these ideas and discovering what we can do, what we can't do, what we want to do, what we can't do yet, but we might be able to do in you know, a few years. It has given me so much hope for my future. And it has allowed me to really grow into my own self-confidence and self-worth, and self-respect, honestly. So, I guess in the end, you know, I just want to say thank you, and that I hope that others can take what I'm saying and begin to, when we continue this conversation, which I will do, and this is not a maybe, this is a will do, that they will remember that we can work together, and that we can work as a community to support one another and lift each other up instead of tearing each other down.
Mm-hmm.
And that we are what we make ourselves. That is the foundation of magic. That is the foundation of magical thinking. We are what we say. Literally. Our words are our power. And Alan Salmi and I talked a great deal about that when I had him as a guest yesterday evening. So, there we have it.
Absolutely. So, let me give you my final thought.
Mm-hmm.
We have never, ever, ever, ever been in a better time in history to build businesses. Cheaper, easier, faster, quicker. We have never had a chance, an opportunity where so many people are so interested in what we do, even just from a political point of view, just from a protest point of view.
Mm-hmm.
They've never been so easy to reach. Facebook ads are extremely cheap. They will never be cheaper than they are now. They're only going to go up in price from here. There's never been cheaper time to get onto social media. They're giving it away. They're not always going to do that. There's going to be time we're going to pay for these services. We have women who are carrying signs into protests. We are the daughters of the witches you couldn't burn.
Absolutely.
So we've never had a stronger time where women empowerment was better. We've never had a better time to be able to outsource products, to buy products, to sell products, to sell services, to create services, and to do so. We've never, ever had a better time, and we're throwing it away. We've never had a chance to build online schools, online television stations, online radio shows like we're doing. The Global Summit is a perfect example of this. So we've never, ever had a better time with both media. I mean, let's face it, if you're broke, you can go to Craigslist, find something for free, clean it up, and then sell it on Facebook Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Put money in your pockets. There's never been a greater opportunity, and never had a greater opportunity to build business. And right
mm-hmm.
now, more than ever before, if we can get people to be living in cooperative behavior and decide on what they want their future to be, it's never going to be better, and people are going to be angry. If you're listening to this 5 years from now, you're going to be angry you didn't listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
You just are, because it's never going to be easier. It doesn't matter. If you heard about Bitcoin and didn't jump in, you're going to say, well, I didn't believe in it. Oh, I didn't believe in the internet. I didn't believe in social media. I didn't believe in any of this. The constant statement of the pagan world. Well, if you don't believe in it, then don't complain about it when it becomes something important. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you got to do is just try anything right now. You can just try anything right now. And, of course, you can check us out at the Witch and Famous Agency, and we'll help you out with that. I'll talk to anybody who wants to talk to me about how to get in their business together. And right now, well, the best thing you can do for me is go to witchboxes.club and buy a box. Subscribe.
Absolutely. And, you know, my last little thought is that I will be packing each and every single one of these boxes that I will be shipping in October and November and December. This is a very big part of my summer and my early fall. And
mm-hmm.
this is the moment for me to express my love for my people, my community, who have supported me for so long. And this is my opportunity to show them my love and care, not only from purchasing the items that will go into these boxes, from people who are small business owners, but also by blessing. I will be blessing each and every single box, each and every single item that will go into every single box, personally. And I hope that people will give me that little bit of trust. If you wish, you can buy our Crystal Connector Pack for $1. And this item is, and that's shipping included within the continental United States. And give me that $1 of seed money of yours. And if you don't like it, I'll give you your dollar back. Honestly, I promise. But I just, again, want to express my appreciation for you too, Ed. Because you have helped me so much. And you've been a real inspiration. Listening to you and reflecting and listening to my clients and reflecting on what they have to say and noodling over all of these different ideas that they have and their perspective on different angles and different things and opportunities and just kind of trying to coalesce them all together and coming up with something sacred and precious. These boxes are my children. And I want them to bring everyone who gets them joy and happiness and a sense of satisfaction, honestly. And I want them to succeed. I want everyone to enjoy the success that these will be. So I ask for your support, and I thank you for your ears, and I thank you for your blessings and your prayers and your well wishes. So I think that about rounds out the evening. We were trying
this
to.
This has been a great day at the Global Wicked Summit.
Yeah, it really has. I cannot wait for tomorrow. Actually, let me give everybody listening a preview of what is coming up tomorrow. Let me grab the schedule really quick here. Friday. I can't believe it's Friday already. Let me see here. Thursday. Where is it? Aha, here we go. Okay, so on Pagans Tonight Radio Network, from 8 to 11 p.m. Central, will be the Karelian Family Hour special, Karelianism as a Global Religion, with Most Reverend Donald Lewis, Most Reverend Stephanie Neal, and Reverend Lori Blackman, who will be welcoming members of the Karelian tradition to voice their views and opinions.
He's looking somebody from India.
Sorry?
We're having India call in tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's going to be brilliant. Do we know who that is? Ed?
I can't pronounce the name, but come in tomorrow and watch it.
Yeah, you'll have to listen and see, right? So in Second Life tomorrow, Reverend Dusty Dione, the high priest and high summoner of the Aquarian Tabernacle Church, will be having a discussion at Sacred Cauldron. Within Second Life, which is a virtual world that you all should jump into and explore. And that discussion will be on the topic of sex in the craft, polyamory and lifestyle, and sexually transmitted degrees. You can find the landmark, which is basically the point within that virtual world that this place will be happening, from the Sacred Cauldron public Facebook group. And I believe it's also on the dailyspell.com Global Wicca Summit schedule. If it's not, I will go in and make sure that it gets there. Because I do believe that this was decided within the last couple of days or so, so it might not have made the schedule quite yet. So I want to thank all of our listeners so very much. Angel Serraro from the Witch Shop in Mumbai. Thank you, Lord Don, who is listening and whose comment I just now saw. So that is who will be on tomorrow night on Pagans Tonight Radio Network, the Karelian Family Hour special. That's going to be exciting. So, you know, keep your eyes and ears tuned in to Facebook, which is where we're using to communicate the most, I would say. I'm interested to see, you know, how far we've spread on Google so far. Give it a shot. Google hashtag Global Wicca Summit or GWS 2018 and see where we pop up. And tomorrow night, here on WAFR, we are going to be having a discussion with Alfred McCarthy, who is a millennial witch, and he still lives in Salem, correct, Ed?
Yes.
Yes, so he is a Salem millennial witch, and we are going to be talking about all sorts of things, including why it is necessary and what it means for him as a white male witch to be an ally of the LGBTQ community, among other things. So, I hope you all tune in. And until now, thank you, Ed. And thank you all. And blessed be.
Blessings.
Good night.
Night.